are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are. On the Fantasy Sports Network, the countdown is nearly complete. We are less than 24 hours away from the College of Football kickoff. We are a little more than 24 hours away from Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor throwing down. I believe the undercard starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. The anticipation is building. As you know what else is building? The bets on Floyd Mayweather right now. Now, we all know that 93% of the action has been on Conor McGregor in this fight. The average bet's been about $140. Meanwhile, the average wager on Floyd Mayweather so far has been average $6,000. Yet, there were two separate $1 million wagers that came in last night on Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is betting $5 million on this fight. People keep waiting for that $5 million bet to come in, but Floyd's playing everybody, man. Floyd's just been playing this thing for the last couple of weeks. 200K here, 150 there, 50 here. You know, Floyd's trying to get the best number. Floyd bets on sports as much as you and I do, like literally and figuratively. It's not just like a ticket once in a while. Floyd Mayweather bets on sports on a daily basis. Like Floyd, even though he's got a big fight, I bet you Floyd's got some action on a baseball game a little bit later today, or an NFL preseason, etc. The guy bets. He understands betting markets. And, you know, he's playing this betting market. We're playing the betting market as well. Big man on campus, Jeff Nadeau, is going to step up and join us. SBR Picks, big man on campus. This guy's from Philly. He knows boxing. He loves boxing. We're going to be breaking it down. He's also in the MMA as well. Look forward to breaking down the fight from a gambling perspective with the big man on campus. Steve Merrill is going to hop up in it. We're going to run the gauntlet with Steve on the gridiron. College of football kicks off in less than 24 hours. We got four games on the board. There's actually five. There's lines for four of them. Portland State and BYU, we're not counting. No line right now. But we'll talk about the four. I was going to say major college football games. I don't know if they're really all major, although South Florida is pretty big time, and Stanford's pretty big time as well, although their opponents kind of blow. NFL preseason continues. Doug Marrone and the Jacksonville Jaguars wanted Chad Henne to be the starting quarterback over Blake Bortles. Problem was, Chad Henne sucked last night. They're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. Blake Bortles actually looked better than Henne did, but that was against second and third stringers in the second half. Last night against the Carolina Panthers. Incidentally, we told you the Carolina Panthers would win. And incidentally, we went, what were we last night? We were 4-0 with our football picks. Might have been 5 with that CFL game, actually. We've been on fire this week. 14-4 with our picks on Game Time Decisions this week. And I've got another 6 or 7 games on the board. I don't really know when these games kick off and what time they kick off at. I thought BC and Ottawa were playing tonight. It turns out it's tomorrow. Take the over tomorrow, all right? Take the over tomorrow. But there's a lot of football on the board this evening, NFL preseason. We got another two games on the board. I got a couple of picks here for you. We got some numbers, some trends, and everything else in between. All right, so we spent a lot of time talking about every angle of Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, yet the countdown is nearly complete. And instead of talking about the marketing and the pay-per-views and whether the Pauly Malignaggi thing was a work or not, now it's time to tell you how I think this fight is going to go down. Now, speaking of the odds, the money's been pouring in on Conor McGregor for the last couple of months. So much so and so much money, it's starting to reach Super Bowl-type numbers right now. 93% of the action was on Conor McGregor. Yet the action's starting to come in right now, big action on Floyd Mayweather. And this was to be expected and predictable. Anytime you get a big champion and everybody's betting on the underdog, you know, the so-called wise guys are going to wait until they think they're getting that optimum number. Now, the optimum number was minus 334. That's as low as you were able to get Floyd Mayweather. Now it's up to like 425, 450. Now the numbers are lower offshore, so you're getting a deal if you're not in Las Vegas. If you're in Vegas and you like Floyd, you're going to get screwed over like minus 550, minus 600 in this spot. You know, you could have gotten it earlier in the week at minus 334. Now for the record, odds makers have said, if not for Conor McGregor's popularity, if we're just actually capping this fight, if the odds makers are just capping the fight, they said the odds would be about 22 to 1. All right, that's what the real odds should be. But Conor McGregor is so freaking popular, and they've done such a good job conning people. And it's fitting that his name is Conor, because they've done a great job conning people into believing that Conor McGregor actually has a chance. All right, they have marketed this brilliantly. And you know what? Conor McGregor might have won the press conferences, and Conor McGregor's been running his mouth for the last couple of months. But now it's time to actually fight. I don't believe that Conor McGregor has a chance to beat Floyd Mayweather. I think people are getting played, and I think they're going to be disappointed in Conor McGregor's performance. I don't think it's going to be a case where it's going to be like, oh, wow, he lost, but, man, he was pretty good. I think it's going to be a case like, well, man, he really played everybody, man, and he gets paid anyways. I think he's going to be outclassed. And, you know, this is coming from someone that loves the UFC and has been watching mixed martial arts for a hell of a long time. But I'll tell you right now, not everybody in the UFC is a world-class athlete, all right? You know, there's a lot of dudes in the UFC that would be bouncers at a strip club if they weren't in the UFC. And I'm not going to take anything away from the people that Conor McGregor has beaten, but I'm going to take stuff away from the people that Conor McGregor has beaten. There's a big freaking difference, all right? Conor McGregor is good. Yeah, you've knocked out. So, yeah, you beat up Chad Mendez. You beat Eddie Alvarez. You lost to Diaz once. You beat Diaz once. You beat Aldo, who seems to be done now anyways. All right, that's all good. That's all good and stuff. And, you know, Conor McGregor is a great UFC fighter. Is he the best UFC fighter? No. That's the thing. He's not even the best UFC fighter. He just talks the most, and he's the most popular UFC fighter. You know, there's a big difference. So let me ask you, is Conor McGregor a world-class athlete? Or is he just an Irish dude that's knocked a couple of people out in the UFC? I guess we're going to find out. Floyd Mayweather is... He is like, he's Mozart, all right? He's Pavarotti. You know, he is Kennedy. You know what I'm saying? You know, whoever you think the best is at their craft, that is Floyd Mayweather in the world of boxing. So the question is, Floyd's going to win. Who's kidding who here, right? Floyd's going to win. The question is, when's he going to win? Is he going to go the distance? How long is it going to go? I'm a little bit concerned about the total because only Floyd really knows when he's going to turn it up a notch. Conor McGregor has a puncher's chance, obviously, and not just in the first couple of rounds. Conor will always be dangerous, but can Conor hit him? And that's the thing. As Ricky Hatton said, and Ricky Hatton's a big Conor McGregor fan, Ricky Hatton said, I couldn't hit him. De La Hoya couldn't hit him. Canelo Alvarez couldn't hit him. Medina hit him, and he got hit back even worse. And that's the thing with Floyd Mayweather. You know, Floyd Mayweather is going to batter Conor McGregor, but Floyd Mayweather's always been a slow starter. He's a defensive fighter. So I would expect Floyd to be pretty cautious for, let's say, the first 3-4 rounds. And then Floyd usually starts to raise it up a notch in the fifth and the sixth as it goes on. And I think that's what's going to happen here. I expect Floyd Mayweather to stop Conor McGregor. And you know what? I don't get paid by the Fantasy Sports Network to sit on the fence. So I'll tell you right now. Floyd Mayweather will stop Conor McGregor early in the seventh round. He's not going to knock him out in one punch like in Conor's knocked out cold. I think it'll be a barrage of punches after he starts to paint the fence and tattoo his face. And it'll be body shot, uppercut, combination to the face. Conor McGregor doesn't have any combinations. You know, like this is incredibly one of the biggest mismatches ever. And despite what George Costanza says about it's not a lie, if you believe it, well, in this instance, you know, the lie and the hype don't match what's going to happen with the results. Conor McGregor, you know what? You signed a check and you put it out there by running your mouth for the last couple of months. Floyd Mayweather's going to freaking cash it. Floyd Mayweather stops Conor McGregor early in the seventh round. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, we've got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today. Man, there's an electricity in the air. We've got a big fight. College football kicks off. NFL football, the regular season is around the corner as the preseason winds down. Week 3, the quote-unquote dress rehearsal games. Listen, next week the preseason is meaningless, man, except for a couple of dudes on special teams that are trying to cash a check and make it on a National Football League roster. But, you know, after this week, it'll be safe to pull the trigger on your fantasy football league draft. That's why all my high roll drafts are Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on. Oh, yeah, we got baseball, too. We got baseball. There was a blockbuster NBA deal. It was so big that everyone would be talking about it, but that's old news right now. So a big man on campus, Jeff Nadeau, is going to join us from SBR.com, SBR Picks. The fantasy executive, Corey Parson, as everybody's talking about Devontae Parker. We've got the fantasy execs take on Devontae Parker. We've got Steve Merrill, batting leadoff on the program. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, how you doing?
Ready to rock, Steve. Big weekend this weekend. College football, the big fight. NFL preseason winding down. Great time of the year to be a sports bettor.
Almost feels like college football preseason, doesn't it? I mean, when you got UMass playing and Rice, and it's really weird how, you know, 8 teams, 4 games decided to play this Saturday, and none of the other 120-plus teams wanted to play. It's really strange how that worked out.
That's a good call. It is very preseason-like. You know, like really, like next week feels like week one, doesn't it, in college?
Oh, yeah. No, quite. And last year it was Thursday, September 1st. This year it's Thursday, August 31st. In fact, last year, there was one double-A game on this Saturday, and then, of course, Cal and Hawaii had played like a week earlier in Australia. I don't quite understand why more teams aren't playing tomorrow. You know, you think if 8 of them are playing that, you know, there'd be 20 or 30 playing.
Yeah, and, you know, usually you're right. I remember going back a ways. I remember Penn State played Arizona back in the Desert Storm defense days, one of those kickoff classics, and it was right around the same date. You know, I went to see Tennessee and Colorado in a kickoff classic right around this date as well. So, you know, I'm surprised not a couple of bigger schools didn't decide to step up and take center stage, you know? Maybe not Alabama or LSU or something or Michigan, but, you know, a Virginia Tech or a North Carolina or something.
No, you're exactly right. Those are always like, remember Michigan State played Oregon once, like in the late 90s. It was like the first game. And, yeah, there's usually only one or two games, but they were Power Five conferences, I guess you could say. You know, not South Florida, UMass, Hawaii. It's a little strange.
All right, so let's jump in here. Oregon State and Colorado State. And I got to be honest with you, Steve. I'm showing discipline. I'm not going to bet crazy on any of these college games tomorrow. I like a few things, but only kind of. I don't really love anything. What I will be doing is Oregon State, Colorado State. I'm going to put Colorado State in a money line parlay with Floyd Mayweather. I'm not laying -425 with Floyd Mayweather. But I'll put a -175 home favorite in with Floyd, and suddenly I got a manageable parlay here. Oregon State and Colorado State. Money's coming in on the Rams. It's up to 4. I like the total of 58, 58.5. That's up to 60, 60.5 now. They're opening up a new stadium, but before people get too excited about the Rams, it is a Pac-12 team getting 4 points against a Mountain West team.
Yeah, and I mean, this may be one of the weaker Pac-12 teams. You know, some places have them bottom 2 in the North Division, but even with that, they still might be a bowl team, even though they only went 4-8 last year. And the one thing about Oregon State this year is it's Gary Anderson's 3rd season, and I always feel like the 3rd year is when coaches really start to make their, you know, their groove, because their recruiting class starts to play more, their system is really intact. And this is a team that went 2-10 in his first year. They went 4-8 last year. I think they very well could be a 6-6 or better team this year. With that said, though, it looks like Colorado State's still the more talented squad, and it's still the first game of the season. And the reason I said preseason is because every first game is like a preseason game for college teams, because they don't have any preseason games. When you're starting a week earlier in August, it's even a little more dicey. So I think Colorado State probably has a little bit of the veteran edge here, even though Oregon State returns 15 starters.
You know, it's funny you say that, though, Steve, as far as, you know, there's no preseason games, because there's been a debate. Should there be preseason? Should we cut the preseason down in the National Football League? But there's a lot of high-scoring games in week one of the college season. You know, they do a lot of inter-squad scrimmages. They practice pretty hard. It's not, you know, the offenses often come out clicking. And I'll tell you what, the bettors keep on betting the overs in all 4 games. The numbers keep going up here. in Oregon State and Colorado State. Colorado State are loaded on offense. They got Mike Bobo back at coach, you know, Nick Stevens quarterback, etc. Triple-headed monster in the backfield. Last six games of the year last year, those guys averaged 48 points per football game. I can understand why people like the over. I think there'll be points put up on the board here.
Yeah, and Bobo's in his third season as well. You know, so we've got two coaches that are in their third season. I think that bodes well for both offenses. And you're right, Gabe. You know, back in the 90s, used to see lower scoring games in week one. Everything has changed in both college and pro football. There's just so much of a West Coast offense, a pass-happy attack now in both leagues, that it just seems like the defenses can't catch up anymore. And the rule changes as well really favor the offenses.
Yeah, and it's early in the season. It's almost one of those deals. Well, the wide receivers know where they're going. You know what I mean? Well, the defense does it. You know, they're seeing new plays. Oh, God, cover that guy, do this. All right, this one surprises me a little bit. Just the fact that there's been a big line movement on this game, and everyone's taking a UMass Minutemen. I like Hawaii here. I'm not going to go crazy with it, but I think Hawaii's a better football team. And I know Hawaii suck on the road, but I like the fact that it's the first game. They're not beaten down by the tens of thousands of miles of travel yet.
Yeah, exactly right. I was going to say, I think one of the reasons for the line move is how bad, you know, Hawaii is. It's a Hawaii to East Coast trip, which is very unusual. I mean, Hawaii normally travels to the West Coast for their conference games, maybe a little bit further to the mountain time zone. And even that is still, you know, what, a 5 or 6 hour flight probably. But like you said, this isn't on a short week. It's not in the middle of the academic year. I doubt schools even started there yet. So if there's ever a time where an East Coast trip is not going to wear them down, it'd be this one. So I think that's a little bit of an overreaction. And UMass was a powerhouse 1AA team. They won the national title way back in 2000, but they've been a weakling ever since they've come up to the 1A level. I'm not sure. They're getting a little bit better, but Hawaii's still a much better program, and I think the travel factor, as you said, is a little bit overrated in this game.
All right, they played last year. It was 46-40. The total 61.5 here. We got a track meet in store here. I wouldn't want to bet on the under.
I mean, this is a UMass team that went 2-10 last year, and they went 3-9 in each of their first two seasons in 1A. And they were playing some cupcakes. And most of those wins came against non-1A teams. I just don't know if they've improved that much. They do have 15 starters back. Mark Whipple's in his fourth season. So I do think UMass will be improved. I think that defense is probably pretty weak still. This is a team that's given up 30-plus points in each of their 3-1A seasons.
All right, let's talk about, you know, we got a couple of good football. You know what's too bad, Steve? If UCF wasn't playing Stanford, we tell San Jose State, go play Rice, and no one cares.
Yeah.
And give us South Florida and Stanford. That's an interesting game. You know what I mean? That would be like, oh, all right, well, that's a pretty interesting matchup. All right, but we got UCF and USF, excuse me, South Florida Bulls. I think the South Florida Bulls can go 12-0 this year, Steve. Might be a little bit lofty at, I don't know, 10-2, 11-1, but I think they're that good. We know that Taggart, you know, Taggart's over at Oregon right now. But there's all kinds of talent out South Florida, starting with Jim Leavitt. Remember Jim Leavitt? He really built something with this program, but then he pulled a Bobby Knight and he started choking kids and punching them at halftime and stuff like that.
So, that's not a good thing?
Yeah, so they're sort of bounced around with the coaches. But Charlie Strong in here now, and he inherited a lot of talent, including Quentin Flowers. They're freaking loaded, man. This is a stacked football team. I think they take this step, but I don't know if I want to lay 21 at San Jose State, though.
Here's where not having a preseason is so tricky, because obviously South Florida has a ton of talent, but it's Charlie Strong's first year. As he said, he just comes in. They've got 16 returning starters. You know, so do they lose a step? Is it a slow start for him, or does he just kind of pick up where they left off this year, last year, as an 11-2 football team? It's a tough call. I mean, the one thing that's certain is that San Jose State does not look like a good team. They could very well be the weakest team in the West of the Mountain West Conference. So all things equal, I think South Florida is the only play here. Now, it is an East Coast to West Coast trip, but like we just talked about, the Hawaii and UMass doesn't concern me much. It's almost like a bowl game because they've had all month to get prepared for this trip, and I'm sure they went out a little earlier than normal, and, you know, travel won't be as much of a factor. So I think South Florida is the only way to play it. Minus 22 is an ugly number. You know, that's basically like laying 24 or more because 21 is a key number. So oddsmakers have this one pretty tight, and this is a typical example of why this first week, you know, this preseason of college football is kind of difficult.
Yeah, no free pass if you want to put the South Florida Bulls in a money line parlay. They're minus 1,500. Rice.
Hey, how about a Stanford, South Florida, Mayweather parlay? I wonder what that would pay, a money line parlay with all three.
Yeah, not much. Not much. I tried it earlier in the week. It was like minus 279 or something. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've got all kinds of weird Floyd Mayweather parlays I'm trying to put together, man, all right? Rice and Stanford, they played last year in the finale. I forgot about that game. And I guess because it was canceled from earlier in the year, so it was an extremely flat spot for the Stanford Cardinal. They ended up winning by 24 as 28-point favorites, 41-17. That would put this game over the number of 51.5. That's where I'm looking in this one. 31.5, 32 right now. That's a lot of points to lay with Stanford, but it's a weird game. They're playing in Australia as well.
Yeah, this is that Sydney game that we talked about from last year when only Hawaii and Cal played, and Hawaii covered that number as a big dog.
Barely. Yeah, they backdoored it. Yeah, getting 19. I remember I had them.
And it was a high-scoring game as well. So if we only have one game to go and not a lot because those are two bad defensive teams. Stanford is obviously a pretty good defensive team. They've given up only about 20 points on average under David Shaw's 6 seasons so far. So that makes the overcall a little bit tougher. Rice will be outmanned here, but they win by 28 or they win by 31. There's not a huge difference for Stanford, but if you're laying 30, there's a huge difference.
I know. So look, last year, 41-17, it gets us there. It is a very low total, but I got to believe that Stanford, without even really trying to embarrass them or anything, and we should note, Stanford have USC coming up too. So I don't think, Stanford's not going to put 68 on the board and run up the score, but at the same point in time, they're going to score 40-plus. So the question is, can Rice give us 14 points, a couple of touchdowns? I think they can. I like the over 51.5.
What's interesting, too, the Mayweather fight so much like a Super Bowl in so many ways with the hype, but also with the prop bets and the cross-sports props. And this being a 10 o'clock Eastern kickoff on Saturday night, most of them are tied to this game.
I know.
And I think I've seen some rushing props out there. And if you look at last year's game, Stanford really pounded Rice on the ground. They had a 373 to 167 rushing edge. They ran the ball 42 times or 43 times. They only threw the ball 18 times. I think we're going to see a lot of that again for numerous reasons. First of all, it's in Sydney. And then, as you said, they've got some big opponents coming up with USC and San Diego State and UCLA on deck the next three after a bye week. So I think they're going to be very vanilla with the passing game, not to give much away. So that would be one concern laying the big number. But I think some of those rushing props to the over could be worth a look with Stanford. Then you could cross-bet them with the Mayweather fight. I don't have a real strong opinion on how long that fight goes. I think it probably goes around 8 rounds like the over-under is saying. So the over on the rushing yards probably is a good way to play some of those cross props as well.
I gave a pick off the top of the program. I say Floyd Mayweather stops him in the early in the 7th round.
Right.
That's plus 1,400. All right, Steve, so we got the NFL preseason tonight, Patriots and Lions. You know what? We could have got the Pats at -2 last night. We missed out on that. It's -3.5 now. The total's 43.5. They got a major advantage at the quarterback position. I'm not talking about Tom Brady versus Stafford, but Brady will play. And extensively, and then you got Jimmy Garoppolo coming in pretty much for the entire second half. I'm not even sure how much Brissett's going to play in this football game. And then conversely, once Stafford's out of there, you got my man Jake Rudock from Michigan, and you got Brad Kai out of Miami. That's advantage New England in a big way right there.
Yeah, no question about it. And I really like New England's quarterback rotation. Obviously, it's a concern that they don't care about winning because, it's the preseason of the Super Bowl champs. But when you have a quarterback rotation like that, you've got two or three guys in that lineup that can start in the NFL. And like you said, the third one might not even play much tonight. It's a pretty good advantage for them. Now, they are laying more than a field goal now on the road. Home field usually worth about 3 in preseason games, but this is the 1 week, as you said at the top of the segment, the dress rehearsal where teams usually come to play into the third quarter. And I like the fact that New England's coming off back-to-back losses so far in the preseason. They're 0-2 straight up in ATS against the spread as a favorite in both games. You figured if there's ever a game when Belichick wants to get a token win, get some momentum going, it'll be with the starters out there tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I think Brady's going to want to ratchet it up a notch. And, not that it matters, but it is in Detroit, played at Ann Arbor. He doesn't go back to Detroit very often. I'm sorry, that's sort of a Michigan homecoming for Brady here. If you look at the Pats' first two preseason games, both soared over the number. How about that game last night with the Dolphins and the Eagles soaring over the number as well? I like the Pats any over here. All right, Steve, I got to tell you, with the Chiefs and the Hawks tonight, it's not often, man, that I'll fade Mike Zimmer in a preseason game, like never. And I told people, like, repeatedly coming in, and we cashed the first two. We cashed with the Vikings against the Buffalo Bills, but I knew it was a bad spot against the Seattle Seahawks because if there's one guy that's as good as Zimmer in a preseason, it's Pete Carroll. Seattle is a damn good preseason team. Trayvon Boykin is a great preseason quarterback. And, you know, they beat you up, man. They killed the Chargers. They beat down a good Viking preseason team the other week. Last week, they covered the number. Pete Carroll, 8-3 straight up and against the spread in the last 11 week three dress rehearsal preseason games. You know, the number's a little, you know, the number's three because I think people like Mahomes a lot with Kansas City, but I got to go with the trends here in the Hawks, Steve.
Yeah, I used Minnesota in both preseason games the past 2 weeks. Went 1-1 because, as you said, they lost last week against Seattle, lost by 7 as a 4-point dog. And he was 13-1 going into that game in the preseason. So Seattle comes to play as well. You know, I thought after the blowout win against the Chargers, 48-17, that Carroll wouldn't put as much into that game last week. And they still had that kind of that lackluster 20-13 win. Dress rehearsal at home, they should be getting at least 3 points. So I'm a little surprised that this line is only 3 even. You can even shop around and find some 2.5s minus 120. What's interesting, Gabe, about both these games tonight is if you look at the first half line in relation to the full game line, you know, a regular NFL regular season game, you know, would be about half the line. Patriots are 3.5 in the game. They're 3.5 in the first half. Seattle's 2.5 to 3 in the game. They're about 2.5 to 3 in the first half line. So I thought that was interesting because they're basically saying the second half is a complete coin flip in both games.
Steve Merrill with us. All right, quickly on the way out, Steve. No NASCAR this week. They got a bye week. They'll be back next week. But baseball, strange line of the day. I know it's the pitching situation with A.J. Cole on the hill for the Nats, but it's very, very strange to see the Mets favored against the Nationals in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, you know, starting pitching lines obviously dictate so much of these prices. And DeGrom, you know, is one of the better pitchers in baseball, but he's probably only goes 6 innings here. Now, the Nationals' bullpen has been a wreck all season. It has gotten better in the last month or so after they got those two relievers from Oakland, Madsen and Doolittle. But, yeah, it's a strange situation here. You look at the Nationals, they're 4-2 their last 6. They're 6-2 their last 8. So they're still winning ball games. The Mets, meanwhile, have only won twice in their last 12 games. So, yeah, I'm not sure I want to lay with a road favorite, the team that's below, you know, 500 overall.
Check out Steve Merrill over at ProSportsInfo.com, and he's one of the covers experts as well. Always a pleasure, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill with us. All right, big man on campus joins us next, the fantasy exec on deck.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. The countdown to the biggest fight of the year and biggest fight of all time, although it's not the most intriguing fight of all time. Let's not confuse the two. It is the biggest bet fight of all time, but it's not going to be the best fight of all time. It's not the most intriguing fight of all time. You know, and I always tell people this. It's like, yeah, well, you know, just because Taylor Swift sold more records in a week than the Beatles doesn't mean she's better than the Beatles, right? So we live in a sales era, but we live in an era now in which people judge you monetarily. So this is the biggest fight ever. I just wanted to clarify that because I personally don't believe it's the biggest fight ever, but monetarily it is. But speaking of monetarily, they're fighting it. I want to make money on this thing. So let's bring in a man that wants to make money on this fight as well, the big man on campus, SBR Picks. Steps up in, Jeff Nadeau. Big man, what's going on?
Gabe, good to be back with you, man. Looking forward to chatting about the fight. Let's. I agree with you. I think from an intriguing perspective, the undercard's going to have a lot better fights. I mean, some of those fights will be a lot better than this clown show coming up.
It's funny you say that, actually, because people are asking me about parlays, and I got a parlay for you. Gervonta Davis. I'm going with Badu. And Floyd minus 179. You're right. There's because people are all what other game? No, put the undercard on.
I'll give you an even better one. Tabidi and Cunningham will go the distance. I think.
Oh yeah, Cunningham, yeah, that's, yeah.
Cunningham's 41 years old, but he's a hell of a fighter still, and he wants to shut Tabidi up. Tabidi's a lot like Mayweather, so yeah, I agree. The undercards would be pretty good overall.
And what's the deal with Cotto? Where's Cotto fighting? Because Cotto is in, he's squeezed in there, yeah. And I'm like, he ain't on the undercard. Real smart, like that fight better be earlier, dude. He's not fighting at the same time, is he?
No, he's fighting the Kama guy, who's a Japanese fighter. No, it's I believe it's earlier.
Where's that fight, Warman? Yeah, he's fighting a Japanese. Yeah, it's got to be. Like, you know, a little appetizer maybe, you know, if it's at 6 in the evening or something like that. I don't even know where the fight is, what country or what city, to be honest.
It's actually in California, which it's on HBO, which I don't know what the thinking pattern is there, but, he is fighting as well. So
all right.
Remember.
He's a minus 500 favorite, just throwing it out there. All right, so let's jump in right now. Floyd, you know, you're going to get a better number offshore than you are in Vegas. In Vegas, they're all hesitant, and they're taking, they're dealing 500s and 550s, et cetera. It went as low as about minus 334 earlier in the week offshore. But even offshore, it's starting to go back up. I'm seeing it in a minus 425 range or so. And last night we saw Paulie Malignaggi release a video with him hanging out with Floyd Mayweather, stating, you know, you're a sucker, Conor McGregor. We set you up. I went there just to get inside information. I personally think they're just messing with Conor's head right now. And it kind of makes Paulie look like a tool, to be honest with you. What's your take on that?
Gabe, they're pretty genuine. I think they both are in cahoots. I think the sole goal is to get into Conor's head. You're right, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if Paulie Malignaggi was paid an undisclosed amount to go in and spar with Conor McGregor. I think it's smart by Floyd. Floyd, Gabe, is a genius at every level, not only inside the ring but off of it. He does a tremendously amazing job of getting his opponent to believe he actually has a chance when it comes, push comes to shove, he has no chance. He's done it all his career. I remember when Ricky Hatton came over to America, it was the same situation. Ricky Hatton was the next big thing in the UK. He was a bull. He was a brawler. He was going to just go at Floyd and just batter him the whole time. I actually think this fight will set up a lot like that. I know Ricky was actually a boxer, though, and had a better chance. In this fight, Conor's going to do the same thing. If we remember, Gabe, when Floyd fought Canelo Alvarez, I mean, he was just a magician at just ducking in, mixing up his punches, and fighting off his back foot. That's what Floyd's going to do. He's a frustrating guy to box. He's the best defensive fighter we've ever seen. And, you know, when it doesn't matter what size gloves you have, it doesn't matter, you know, some of the rules. At the end of the day, if you can't hit your opponent, you're not going to win a fight. And I think another thing people aren't remembering, Gabe, is there are a lot of different rules in boxing that you don't have in MMA. You can get as many refs in there as you want, but when push comes to shove, it's like us coming on the air. Not a lot of us can do it. It looks easy. It looks like it's going to be a walk in the park, but when you actually come on the air and have to talk under the bright lights, it becomes pretty difficult. Same thing with Conor. I think he's going to make some mistakes that regular boxers won't make.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, he's not even an amateur boxer. That'd be a disrespectful to amateur boxers. But it's funny to me, from a UFC perspective, when CM Punk said, you know, I'm going to come to the UFC, UFC fans looked down on him. Who the hell do you think you are? You're going to come in here, and you're going to come from wrestling, and you're going to do this, you're going to do that, and he got schooled. But then they'll give Conor McGregor the benefit of the doubt to this extent. And you mentioned Ricky Hatton. It's a great comparison. And I saw an interview with Ricky Hatton. I read his the words of Ricky. And Ricky said, you know, I'm a big Conor McGregor fan. He reminds me of me. And he goes, I heard all the same things about me, just like you said, going in there. And he said, I couldn't hit him. Canelo couldn't hit him. De La Hoya couldn't hit him. And he goes, Medina hit him and got beat up for hitting him. And said, there's no way Conor's even going to be able to hit him. I said this. I said in the intro of the show, Jeff, I don't think people are going to say after this fight, wow, Conor didn't win, but he was pretty impressive. I think people are going to say, wow, we got played after. Like, he's going to be that outclassed.
And that's exactly what I'm also going to say here. everything about this fight seems shamish. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, even look at the line. I mean, Andre Berto was a 1-30 favorite against Floyd Mayweather, a real-life fighter, a guy that's dedicated his life to boxing, and you're going to put the line out at what it is? It is a complete sham. And all the punters, all the drunk Irish fans, all the women that go to the club before the fight that just want to be involved because they think Conor's cute and he's a nice guy and he's a bad boy, those are the people that are betting on Floyd Mayweather, the sharp people that actually know what they're doing, the guys that give their life to this business. They're not getting anywhere near Conor McGregor because they know it's a sham. They know it's fake. It's phony. It's going to be, at the end of the day, exactly what you said. They're going to watch this fight, and they're going to say, wow. And they're going to be the same guys on Twitter that are going to say, why did I waste $100? This is the same old Floyd. The difference in this fight is I don't think Conor's going to make it to the eighth round because I don't think conditioning-wise he has any idea what he's in for in this fight. When he walks into this fight, he's in the ring, and that bell rings, he's going to believe and say to himself in his head, what the hell am I doing here? And I think in the eighth, ninth round, he's just going to be dead. I don't think he's going to have any idea. I mean, Gabe, you know MMA. What's the most normal thing about the MMA? It's what? 25 minutes long, no matter what happens. Boxing's 11 minutes long.
He only went once 25 minutes, too. He went once 25 minutes, and another time he went 15 minutes, I believe. So Holloway went the distance. And the second Nate Diaz fight went the distance. Now, I also said, and I've been covering the UFC for a long time and MMA for a long time, and I say this with all due respect, but not everybody that Conor has beaten is a world-class athlete. You know what I mean? I mean, and, you know, a Philly guy, actually, so in Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez is a hell of a fighter. But Brendan Schaub was breaking it down and going, look what he did to Eddie Alvarez standing up. You know? Eddie Alvarez could be a bouncer at the Hustler Club. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, it's, and you look at people in the UFC, and I don't mean it's disrespectful, but a lot of them aren't world-class athletes, all right? They're fighters. They don't have combinations. Yeah, they have power if they punch you in the face. They're tough. They look the part. They got tattoos. They don't have combinations. So Conor, you know, he doesn't have a hope in hell in winning a decision in this fight. He's not going to outbox Floyd for 36 minutes. So, therefore, his only open hell is a knockout. And he's got no combos or anything. So, he's going to have to catch one amateur overhand type of shot. Like I said, like it's a pipe dream. It really is. It's free money. It really is free money on Floyd.
And it is free money because you look at what the odds should be. You're getting in a complete bargain.
Should be 22-1. I've spoken to two or three reputed odds makers that said in reality, if not for the popularity, I'd make this 22-25-1.
I've actually spoke to Matt Holt at CJ Technology on my own show, and he said, I mean, 1-60, 1-50. It's amazing the value you're actually getting on Floyd Mayweather. I'm actually going to recommend Gabe Mayweather by KO, TKO, or disqualification. I don't see any way this fight goes 12 rounds. Floyd would have to be totally off his game and just dance around the whole time or whatever. But at the end of the day, I think we're really downplaying Floyd's punching power, Floyd's chin, Floyd's hand speed. I mean, he's just an artist at it. And at the end of the day, it's just a bad matchup for Conor. Could Conor beat Paulie? Could Conor beat other fighters? I don't know. But when you're getting in the ring for the first time and trying to prove something, I don't think it's such a great idea to face an undefeated 49-0, a guy that's never lost, to try to prove your point. I think it's a bad decision as far as a fight decision. Look, from a money perspective, look, if you want to sell yourself out to get rich, be my guest. I know Conor's doing it now, but at the end of the day, I think he's just going to look like an absolute fraud. And all this tough talk, at the end of the day, it's going to be embarrassing at the end.
Yeah, I like that pick. I like Floyd Mayweather inside the distance, -138. We got to get out of here. Check out Jeff, big man on campus. Online on Twitter and over at SBR.com, SBR Pick Sportsbook Review. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you.
All right, there's Jeff to do with us. The Fantasy Executive joins me next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to the start of the National Football League regular season. Fantasy football time, boys. And don't forget, we're going to be appearing live tomorrow. The fantasy sports show has already begun today. And a lot of Fantasy Sports Network personalities are over there down at the convention center. Me and Cam Stewart will be appearing live tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern, on one of the main stages. I'll be talking fantasy football. I'll be talking props. I'll give you some win totals for the year, betting, football, and no doubt I'm sure that the big fight will come up as well. We'll be taking questions from the crowd. We want to remind you guys, don't be stupid. Why wouldn't you want to win your fantasy football league? Go over to rotoexperts.com/discount. Promo code RAGE. Promo code RAGE. And you won't be raging because you're going to win your freaking fantasy football league. And if you really want to beat your boys down, whether you're playing in an office pool, a high roller fantasy football league, playing in one of those FF, PC type of deals, wherever you're playing, you need the help of the fantasy executive. And this is a great package. The Executive Edge package, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, steps up in there. What up, Corey?
What's the deal, my man, Sports Rage? What's going on with you? It's getting close to that time of year. A lot of stuff going on, college football, got the big fight, the NFL's getting ready to kick off, so I just need me a little honey to spend the season with.
Yeah, great time. I know, it's funny, I got so much work coming up now, the football season's starting. Someone said in my chat the other day, Marenzi, you ain't gonna have time to, find something new. I said, yeah, I'm gonna bite the bullet for 6 months, but I'm gonna be so damn rich at the end of the football year, I'll get any girl I want.
There you go, right there. That's the same plan over here.
Yeah, exactly. So, the Executive Edge, tell people about your package.
No doubt, the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package is available right now at rotoexperts.com. Listen, I'm going in tonight. I'm going to update all the rankings. You print it, you pay for it, you print it out. Only cost you $20 to win your league this year. Print out the rankings, take them to your draft, which was like having me right there along with you. So, all the information you need to dominate in 2017, I got your back. And then, if you like real cool about it, you know what I'm saying? You got my exclusive Snapchat, you know what I mean? You can hit me up while you're drafting, and then I get right back to you, and then, you'd be the dopest dude in your league.
That's awesome. That's a cool little format. Quick emerge. It's like, who wants to be a millionaire? The lifeline. Can I make a phone call? I got to make a phone call here.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I wouldn't be down in my draft. The old experts. I'd be like, yeah. people, you're like a fantasy ringer, but, we encourage people to check it out if you guys want to win. No, it's not expensive, and you're going to have an extra advantage over the people you're playing against, definitely. So let's jump in right now. Jay Cutler last night was pretty much, Jay Cutler is what he is. He'll fumble the ball, he looks like a goofball, and then he'll throw a beautiful pass down the field. And that's exactly what we saw from Cutler last night. It's pretty clear Cutler's the guy in Miami. He's going to be the starter, 5 of 8, fumble football, threw that deep ball down to a Devontae Parker. What are you making of Cutler coming into this year?
Cutler's not really somebody you want on your fantasy team unless you're in a 2-quarterback format. Then this way you give Cutler a ring. Like you said, we know what he is. What's going to end up happening, Miami's going to be another fan base that's going to hate Jay Cutler. But what he does for fantasy football purposes, Devontae Parker, I tell you what, we've been waiting for this kid to break out. And all year long, I'm like, nope, it's not happening with Ryan Tannehill. Unfortunately, Tannehill's go down. And I'm like, yeah, get back on him, especially if they bring Cutler in there. Cutler is an aggressive downfield thrower. He's going to find a big target, the playmaking wide receiver. Another thing that Jay Cutler does, Gabe, he peppers his number one wide receiver with target. He doesn't look away from these guys. So Parker is moving up in my rankings. As a matter of fact, I got him in that wide receiver 3 range right now, just outside of my top 30. So Parker's a player that I think we're finally going to see the breakout if the young man can stay on the field.
Corey, I was ahead of my time, man. Unfortunately, I was late for the wedding and early for the funeral with Devontae Parker last year at the fantasy draft at Rockin' Riley's. Yeah. I was like, man, and I thought I was a real, I thought I was the cool kid. I was like, these guys know nothing about Devontae Parker. This kid's going to bust loose, man. And I sort of got I was frustrated by him, without a doubt. But even with my frustration, Corey, when I look back at reality, he went from 26 to 56 receptions. He went from 51 targets to 91 targets. The growth is there. It's like growing a plant, a special plant in a closet, Corey. The buds are growing, man. You know what I mean? The buds are growing, Now we're coming into year three. That's always the breakout year for a wide receiver. Landry is sort of, you know, he's on the outs a little bit. You got a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field. They're liking what they're seeing. I'm starting to buy into to Parker a little bit. I just got burnt last year, and I'm a Bills fan, and I hate the Dolphins, but it's hard not to like what you're seeing from Parker so far.
Nah, you got to go back after Parker this year. This is the season for him right here. One of his things was not knowing the difference between being hurt and being injured. A lot of times this young man was hurt but not playing.
Yeah.
Coaching staff had to get on him about that. And what I like about him this year, rededicated himself, rededicated his body. He came in there focused. Gabe, it's a difference between being a football player and being a professional athlete. And we think that Devontae Parker is getting ready to step into that professional athlete mode, and that's exactly what the Miami Dolphins need. As far as Juice Landry goes, it could be a little bit tougher for him this year.
You know, what about Jay Ajayi? I don't understand. I see a lot of fantasy guys. You know, his rankings are probably where they should be, but a lot of guys, oh, I don't know about him. He was kind of fluky. Or a lot of the yards came against the Buffalo Bills, you know, and the outburst in the two games, half the yardage, et cetera. And, you know, like I said, I am a Bills fan, but I'm looking at Ajayi here. This guy's a baller, man. Anytime he touches the ball, there's a potential for a big run. He worked on his hands in the offseason. He put 2 hours a day in, 2 hours a freaking day, nothing but catching balls. And they said, "There, man, this guy's catching balls behind his head." Like, you know, the receptions are going to go way up this year. I guarantee he's going to catch more balls this year. I don't see what people don't like about him. My only concern is, does Gase get him the ball? But I think they will. I like Jay Ajayi. I have no problem as Jay Ajayi is my number one running back.
See, I guess I would be the low man on Jay Ajayi. I'm the analyst that you're talking about those most of his production last season coming in those three big games. What I do like, though, is their commitment to him. He is going to be their number one guy. He is going to run the football out that backfield. Jay Cutler is going to help open up some running lanes. I don't know about Jay Cutler in that short passing game, but you are correct. The receptions total will go up in 2017. That knee is still kind of bone on bone-ish. That worries me a little bit, but listen, that could be any player in the NFL. I like him more as a running back, too. Say I get me like a Shady in round one. I come back with Jay Ajayi in round two. That's the way I want to play it. Sending him out there as my one is not ideal for me. I'd rather look at some of the other big dogs and maybe even one of the rookie running backs a little bit further down the board.
All depends where we draft, too, right? That's exactly. Like, if I could get a David Johnson, like, depends on what I, you know, even Shady up front, I get it. I'm more of a wide receiver guy early, though, but I hear we're going with that. All right, we've only got like a minute left here. I'm warning people, man. Be worried about Leonard Fournette. You know, I don't care. Oh, the NFL is easier than I thought. Yeah, well, get on the field, kid, and prove it. I'm telling you, man, I'm worried about this kid getting hurt this year.
Jacksonville smells like crap right now. They got the situation with the quarterback. We don't know what's going on with that. The offensive line has looked terrible. So he's coming into a very difficult situation. People want to say, oh, well, this is like Ezekiel Elliott last year. No, Ezekiel Elliott was running behind the Great Wall in Dallas. Leonard Fournette, I mean, is running behind, like, the piece of crap in Jacksonville. That old line is not that good. So I'm not in on Leonard Fournette. I've seen him slip to the third round of the drafts. He's a rookie running back I will be staying away from. I like young running backs, too, but I tell you what, you can give me some Dalvin Cook any day.
Yeah, I'm with you on Cook in the kitchen, and I don't want any part of anyone on Jacksonville right now either. We got to get out of here, but I'm liking what I'm seeing from Calvin Benjamin as well. And you know what? I ain't going to draft Calvin Benjamin, but I might put him on my DraftKings lineup in week one against San Francisco suddenly. All right, we got to get out of here. Get Corey's package. Become a smarter man. You'll be an executive as well. Thanks, Corey.
All right, Gabe, holla at you. Enjoy the weekend, brother.
There's Corey Parsons with us. Quick break. We'll come back with our steaming plays of the day.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, it's been a great week at the window so far this week. Let's see if we can keep it rolling tonight. Let's take the New England Patriots. We're going to lay the 3.5. Not a huge fan of laying 3.5 on the road in a preseason spot, but I don't like the backup quarterback situation for the Detroit Lions with Jake Rudock and Brad Kaya taking on Jimmy Garoppolo. Distinct advantage for the New England Patriots. Give me the Patriots, and let's go over the number. First two Pats games have gone over the number. Seattle Seahawks, Pete Carroll, 8-3 straight up and against the spread last 11 week three dress rehearsal games. Let's go under the number in this one. I think it's going to be a lower scoring football game. Edmonton Eskimos, we're going to lay it a 5.5 in the CFL. Let's go over to 53.5. Bartolo Colon plus 170 against the Jays. We're rolling the dice, and we'll take the D-backs and the Dodgers. Parlay plus 115. May the winners be yours.